Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When I see people's art that I really admire, I would hope that they would be cool. But I don't know that. I can't guarantee that. I can have fun speculations with Amber, but I'm not going to say it like online on Twitter. Like, I think that her booty stank. Like, like no one needs it.
No man is never given me that theory about anybody ever. But wait, I agree with you, and I feel like.
Central. Yep. They're gonna kiss.
Oh, Shimon. It's Disney and Nick. It's Disney and Nickelodeon.
It's Disney and Nick.
We're talking about our Appa and Stitch little plushies that we have here.
That's right.
Then and today. Hello, my name's Amanda.
And I'm Amber.
And this is Fangirl Central.
Doom.
Where being a fangirl is central to our identity.
Our identity, but also maybe yours.
Maybe it's yours, and if it's not, maybe you should own up to that.
Yeah, think about it.
If you're listening to this, maybe being a fangirl is central to your identity. Think about it.
Think about it.
What is that from?
Sweet Life on Deck.
Think about it.
It's Woody.
Think about it. Think about it.
He's trying to get him going to a flashback, and Cody's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Woody. I don't know what he says. But also
maybe I should rewatch that show because you have seen it more than me.
I think you should. I think it's worth it. It's a great ensemble cast. On top of the Disney Nick thing, we also got the boy bands going with Disney Nick because even though One Direction was never signed with Nick, they really tried to get him. And you know, Jonas Brothers.
Oh my God, they tried Disney. To Jonas Brothers the One Direction.
They really tried to get him.
And I said the One
those
Direction.
Those boys said, we don't know if you know this, but we British. And we start drinking at 16 over there. We crazy. Like, they could not tame the children.
I don't know what you think, but our image is already like too
skewed.
Fucked up for American children's television.
Yeah, they're like, no. You think you're going to corral Louis Tomlinson?
Oh.
You think you're going to corral Zayn and Liam? No.
Like maybe Harry and Niall. I feel like
maybe Harry and Niall just because they're slightly more polite in general.
I think that if it had just been Harry and Niall and they had been a duo, they'd be so excited to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they'd be like, "What?"
They'd be like, "Yes."
Yeah, we're gonna be like jumping to relate. We're yeah. gonna get our own show. Yeah, and Niall would be like, Niall was such a little fangirl.
He really
he was fangirling over Justin Bieber in that.
Yes,
clip?
Yeah.
That was the first time I saw Niall Horan was during my Justin Bieber phase. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. The very first time I saw Niall Horan was during my Justin Bieber phase, when I was in 7th grade, way before I knew what One Direction was, because I was watching every single video I could get my hands on of Justin Bieber, and he performed on X Factor UK in 2010 on One Direction season, and the lady, I can't remember what her name is, but the interviewer was like, and Justin, do you know one of our very own contestants is a huge fan? He's standing over in the wing, Niall, and Niall, baby Niall, with his crooked teeth and his blonde hair, he goes, hello. He's a baby.
I have heard you tell this story, but I don't think it sunk in how
right.
crazy that is.
I know.
Because like you were not a fan
Didn't
of theirs until like granted way later that year. I think it's the same year, right?
I think
it was the summer.
No, 2011.
Summer camp.
I didn't get into them until 2012. When I got into them, you have to understand this because here's the sequel to that story. When I was finding every single video I could of One Direction, it said Niall Horan from One Direction is freaking out over Justin Bieber. I can't remember what the title was. And I said,
you've seen
that. I was like,
you've seen
that. I'm pretty sure I've seen this before. I was like glitching. I was short circuiting because I was like, I've seen this before because of Justin. And so that means I've seen Niall before.
That is such a mind fuck.
It is. It was.
Wow. Well,
I know.
We don't have Justin Bieber up here. We do have a cardboard cutout of him, but it's covered in your classmates'.
Why don't we have Justin?
Signatures, because you let them.
Justin is here represented in purple.
Yeah.
Well, even though that's not the reason that's my favorite color. That's how he's here represented.
We'll have to get a roast of Amber Miller to confirm that.
Excuse me? Excuse the fuck out of me?
At the roast of Amber Miller, we'll invite everyone who was around her when she went through her purple craze.
Fuck off. It had nothing to do with Justin. It had nothing to do with Justin.
It was the icing on the cake. I feel like it was kind of like the allegations were like
false. Allegations. Allegations. False.
Oh, wait.
Accusations. False accusations.
No, no. And then the other guy's like, no, well, I would. Melania.
But yeah,
hello.
The Justin Bieber cardboard cutout actually has signatures from everybody in my graduating class of 2016 from my high school.
And that was a choice because I got angry, not just mad or disappointed, but angry at my friend for writing in my Twilight book. So that was brave of you.
It was brave of me. And do you want to know something? I put sticky notes all over his face and I said, sign everywhere except for his face. Do not doodle. I am serious. And do you want to know what the bitch did? And bitch, you know who you are, bitch. You gave him a mustache. You gave him a beard. And you know what? She was a stank bitch, and you know who you are, bitch.
Oh my God.
For other reasons.
Do you know?
And like, she thought she was being
that's
funny.
That's so fucking annoying.
She thought she was being funny.
I told you not to write on his face.
And you know what? You really went out of the way because I fucking covered his face with sticky notes, bitch.
Oh my God. Those bitches would just go out of their way to make you the maddest you've ever been.
Just for and a then laugh. Be like, it doesn't matter. Fuck the
Amanda's
fuck out of here.
Upset about that.
Ew. God, good riddance.
Stank.
Them
good
people
riddance.
Are so fucking annoying. You might need to cut some of this out. Because now I'm mad. Like, no, I'm
no
like,
but it's kind of the reason that we have this podcast.
Miss me at the 10-year reunion.
We've been so angered and infuriated by white girls for being stank about every single fandom we've ever had.
Every single thing that ever made us
that's
smile.
A little
they
bit
were
about,
just laugh at us and not with us. And
a little
I was
bit
like,
about
face,
our
about
origin
it.
Story. You're like, who are these two girls and why are they so traumatized? Because we went to an all-girls, all-white Christian school in the South.
And our where current you, identities that we now know is gay, black, obviously.
Black, gay, queer.
Choosing to live on the West Coast.
Whatever you want to talk about. Choosing to live on the West Coast. Living our hedonistic lifestyles.
Heathens. We've got pink and purple hair.
But yeah, now part of our anyways. Healing about being loud and proud and gay and fangirls
is
doing
being
this
loud
podcast.
And proud and gay.
Yeah. And
on the mic.
On the mic. I hope this resonates with our audience. I think it probably does because can I mention, I have not even ever said this, but I've been meaning to say this because I say it to myself out loud all the time. Everybody who follows us on Instagram is the coolest person I've ever seen.
That's
like,
true. I'm
every
like,
single
this?
Time I look through who's following us on Instagram, I'm like, these are bad bitches.
Yeah, they have like, really like fun posts.
Oh,
they got
queer.
The way their posts are were always how I wanted my Instagram to look in high school, and I could never get it together. I'm like,
these people are making every single fangirl thing look the coolest ever. Like,
yes.
I see your aesthetic post about going to Beyonce, One Direction, the Eras Tour. I see you out there, and I see you making it very aesthetic, and I see you making it very authentic.
Right.
And
it's like
I love
so
your tattoos
because it's authentic,
and
it's like,
I love your purple hairs. And also since coming back from Comic-Con, I feel like I'm like craving like fan like connection and community. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about that way back at the beginning of the podcast, but like I've sort of forgotten the community aspect of it. And that's what I'm like, I want to have like meetups with these people.
Yeah.
I want to know y'all because I've never seen so many like fangirls of so many, like such a diverse community of fangirls. Like they're so many cheesy different reasons. To say.
Well, yes,
because
but
that's
yes.
who we are. So like,
but it's
of
like,
course.
I just said like fandom is not the same as pop culture, which we will have a longer podcast episode about, but it isn't because your mm-hmm. fandom does not have to be popular in the pop culture. It has to be your fandom. And I like to hear why everybody's fandom is their saving grace in a sort. It's right. interesting to me.
It's fascinating. And oh my God, speaking of community, we have a screening that we're hosting coming up. We're hosting a screening for American Cinematheque's Friend of Fest Podcast Festival for
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
August 28th, 10 p.m. at the Los Feliz Theater. I'm so fucking excited. I'm so excited.
That is one of those movies that we went back and we watched and we said, this movie must have really been a foreshadowing for how we turned out.
It was formative for us.
It's really good.
I don't know
good.
If we're fangirls because of that movie or if that movie was touching on something just in the culture. And
right,
so that's,
and we now connected really with want it. It back. Yeah.
But I felt so, I don't remember like, I felt so connected to her in a way that I had only, when did it come out?
2004. We were babies.
Like I had only ever felt this way for like probably That's a Raven and the Cheetah Girls mm-hmm. where I was like, whoo.
Yeah.
Like,
because
I feel that
she's so melodramatic and I feel like I always thought it was very negative to be dramatic.
Right.
I feel like I am a dramatic person and but I would never like to admit it about myself. I'd be like, no, I'm not.
Me too.
Like, I have no argument. I have no way to back it up, but no, I'm not. And now I'm like, I'm really dramatic. And you know what? Every single time I'm my most dramatic, I feel way calmer after.
Honestly, like we have been saying to each other, sometimes you just have to be dramatic about it and then get over it
and then
move
it's over. On. Yeah.
And I want to say that I also felt like I had to, like being dramatic was a negative thing and I had to hide. And it was like, oh, Amber's the dramatic sister.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like Amber, and it was like the narrative in our family too, from our parents and me. And so since it was from our parents, it was like, Amber's the dramatic one, Amanda's the level-headed one.
Right, and you know what? Those reels, and I sent one today, but like those reels where it's like, they put the sister's type in a box. I'm like, this is harmful. Because mm-hmm. there's no way that's the only thing. I know it's like, me, like I know it's supposed to be all fun and games, but like some of them are very specific and I'm like, there's no way that the older sister doesn't take a little offense to having to plan every single for context.
Yeah,
but
I know what you're talking
reel.
About
like this was a funny reel, but in analyzing everything,
I'll explain the reel just briefly.
Yes, because I will talk about it for too long.
I'll explain what it was. Amber will give the analysis. It's two little girls and their sisters, and it's like the older one has her like suitcase together. She has like a clipboard or something. Like I don't know what she has, but it's like the older sister planning, thought everything out, leading us. And then it was like the younger sister like running around and
like
she's spinning around
and
she's like going along with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would appreciate someone else to be the level-headed one. And growing up, now I've realized that like when I'm freaking out and I am dramatic because I have not allowed myself to be dramatic in the past, mm-hmm. when I am doing that, I'm like, Amber, you have to be level-headed mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I can't be.
Yes.
And I shouldn't all the time.
No, and yeah, and sometimes I catch it, but other times
I think you catch it most of the time.
Oh, well, good. Like,
now
yeah.
that we're adults.
Now that we're adults and now we're friends. Like mm-hmm.
say that.
If you were to just start going crazy, I feel like you would go crazy let me start over. before we were friends, I feel like if you were going to have like a whack out moment, it would be in a way that I didn't feel the need to console because then she's just going to take it out on me.
Mm.
Or I just straight up didn't notice.
Right.
I just straight up didn't notice.
Exactly. Well, yeah, because I didn't, I wasn't ever always loud about it.
Yeah.
But that's like connected, I think, to healing. Mm-hmm. And that's why fangirling has been so healing for me, because it has allowed me in getting rid of the shame of being a fangirl, getting rid of the shame of being a drama queen.
Yes.
Like, I think drama queen and fangirl are the same word in different genres.
Yeah.
Because what do you call, if a man is expressing emotion that is too much for what you deem a man should be expressing, you call him a drama queen. Mm-hmm. And if he's expressing that towards something you like, you call him a fangirl. Mm-hmm. Derogatory. Mm-hmm, 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 it's the mm-hmm, same mm-hmm, word.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
right.
Oh, he's being a drama queen. And that's meant to be like, you're being too much of a girl. You're being a bitch. You're being weak. You're being a pussy.
We can actively see how you're feeling.
So calm that down, drama queen.
Put it away.
Oh, he's such a fangirl. You're like fangirling over him. Mm-mm. Like, mm-hmm. Like a guy says, hey, I met this really nice guy the other day and I would like to be friends with him. Oh my God, are you fangirling over him?
Like
he's such a fangirl over Ron.
He wants to be, don't say Ron. Did you notice how Sammy didn't say his name?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, we watched the little clip on YouTube where Sammy,
it's an oral history of the note.
An oral history of the note. Sammy from
Jersey Shore.
From Jersey Shore watched the note, or they just recapped what happened, the whole cast did. And Sammy was like, she did not say his name once. She called, no. Kept referring to him as that person, because that was an active abusive relationship that everybody was watching and MTV was capitalizing on.
Mm-hmm.
She was 22. She was 22, and you should watch that video, because I'm not even being dramatic. Oh, I am being dramatic, actually. The first time I watched that, I teared up a lot.
Mm.
Like, I was like, this poor, because she talks about how like, she was 22 and she lost this person, or she found out this person was acting up that she loved. And then on top of it, she lost all her friends. And I was just like, oh my Lord. And there is something so toxic about the Jersey Shore people. I love the show. I do. But they have such a toxic way that exists, like dynamic that they have, that I think is very popular in a lot of families and a lot of friend groups, where it's a lot of taking each other for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Like they disrespect the fuck out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they make up.
They don't even make up, really. They just like have a conversation, go back and forth. And then they're like, we're just not going to agree, but I love you. But it's like not a thing where you can't just, it's just not, we're not going to agree. It's like this person, one of them has actively explained what, like, in like really good communication skills, what they felt, yeah, and how maybe they could possibly move forward. And then the other one will just be like, in one ear, out the other, we're just going to have to forget about it and move on.
Wait, I have a question.
And that's exactly what happens every single season.
I have a question. Do you think these people are genuinely friends though? Or do you think at this point they're just coworkers because it's making them a lot of money? And so they feel like they don't have to respect them.
I think it's different for different cast members.
Okay.
Do you want me to name them?
Yeah, because I was picking up on that a little bit. Like some of them, yeah, are like, I never need to see this bitch again. Yeah. If it's going to make me a lot of money, so be it.
I think that's how a lot of them feel towards Angelina.
Uh-huh.
I think, because they disrespect the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
But I think Angelina knows that she's making money, so she's like, whatever.
Well,
but I think she makes a lot of sense. Angelina, I think she makes a lot of sense sometimes. Then she does do really like crazy things, but I feel like everybody does. But
how do you feel about, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that she thinks she's a psychic, or like she thinks she like can like connect spiritually, and they all.
What? Like for what?
Like she, like,
I didn't know this about her.
No, like she's just very into astrology. She's a spiritual person, and she, her grandma, what? Her grandma's an active psychic. And
Angelina.
And she thinks she can read energy. And I kind of low key believe her, but everybody on MTV, everybody in the cast makes fun of it for her. But I'm just like, hey, that kind of makes sense to me, but whatever. What were you going to say?
That's so random.
I just think that if anybody else, here's what I'll say. I think if anybody else in the cast said that, they'd all be like, Snooki is a psychic. She can read energy. But since it's Angelina, they'll be like, she's crazy.
Oh, they don't like her.
Yeah.
So they're biased.
Yeah. I think Angelina can do anything that they would do, and they'll still rip her apart for it.
Mm,
and so she says that constantly on the show. Least favorite. And they all are always like, no, you just don't take accountability. And she's like, I know I'm a fucking wreck. Like, she's, Angelina's always like, I know I'm a fucking wreck. And I know I'm messy and like impolite compared to these folks, which she's not, okay? Because they're all crazy impolite. If you like put it on like whatever society standards you want to put it on, they do all the same crazy shenanigans for the television, for the bit.
Yeah.
It's just that Angelina gets the representation of being the most fallen, like falling apart. I just can't. I want to hop in the TV and to explain things to all of them when I watch it.
Because this is such a long running cast, like I feel like it's unlike a lot of other shows out there, other than like the Kardashians, where like we've been with the same exact cast for so many years.
Yeah.
Like what other shows are like that right now? The Kardashians, Jersey Shore, like is there still a long running?
I think Jersey Shore and the Kardashians are hand in hand.
Because like all the other reality shows,
it reminds me of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, all the other reality shows I watch, there's a different cast every single season. Like Love Island.
Yeah.
I don't watch The Bachelor, but that's how The Bachelor is. Like Love is Blind, and I have my own thoughts about the like ethics of being a reality show fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're real people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, reality show, so much of reality show is fake and forced. And when you watch reality, you kind of have to accept that this is not reality. It's just kind of like more true to life than Doctor Who.
Right. And it's kind of interesting because the Kardashians on Hulu is still heavily produced. I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But it's more realistic
than Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Like in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, like you can, like it feels like it's more of a vlog. It feels like it's more of a YouTube vlog.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you could tell that they told them what they wanted from the scene and like how to say it.
That's why I think,
and it seemed more scripted.
That's why I think that reality show is evolving,
yeah,
and becoming more true to
life.
And,
but what I will say and why this is toxic,
mm-hmm, as a viewer.
No, not as a viewer, just like for Jersey Shore. But I feel like back in the early 2000s with the first Jersey Shore, I feel like it was more of a vlog and now it's more scripted. So I feel like when they get in arguments with Angelina now, I'm like, Angelina's sticking around because she's getting the check and I think everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But in 2009 and the original one,
they actually hated her.
No, not even that. I think all of the problematic things that were going on in the house, I think it was more like Love Island set up where it was like a social experiment. They were that young. They were roommates and they were pissing each other off because they were being disrespectful to each other. Like Sammy was in an abusive relationship and I don't think that was produced. I don't think it was produced. The conditions were produced. Yeah. The conditions were produced, but I think it was really toxic for us to be watching that because that was a very real situation.
I feel the same way about Love Island sometimes because I know like people who don't watch Love Island would just kind of assume that it's the same amount of production as The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I tell people, I'm like, no, bitch, like they're being recorded all the time. Sometimes they forget that they're being recorded. They blatantly lie to each other.
They don't know how the show's going to be edited.
Where lies are going to get back to them.
Exactly.
They never see producers. They never see anybody. Like they never see any cameras. And and so it obviously they are doing, they're manipulating the conditions and the producers can talk to them on the weekends. However, it's the same amount of realness as I think Jersey Shore is, which it fascinates me as a human being. And that's why I'm such a big fan of dating shows is like, it tells us something about humanity.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they're getting the therapy they need, whether or not these shows are hiring a racism sniffer, because hire me as a racism sniffer. Like if you're interviewing these boys and they have never dated a black girl in their life, or they
don't
like,
put them in there.
They think that black people should just be together and white people should be together. Like I could tell if somebody is that type of racist.
I know you haven't
in an interview. So in, please in do instant. That.
Yeah.
You can make these shows more ethical.
Right. You can hire a black woman who interviews who's like a part of the casting process, who interviews them. And the person just thinks it's just another interview and they could be sniffing out to see where.
Yes.
You know, they could be sniffing out the racist.
It should just be another list on the criteria.
It's just one conversation. It really is just one conversation. They expose themselves very easily.
Literally.
And I want to say, I know you haven't watched this current season. I don't know what season we're on. 10 maybe, UK?
Yeah, I don't
know. I'm not going to say any spoilers. What I will say is a lot of the white people in this season specifically have said so many strange microaggressions that they don't even realize that they're saying.
Right.
And I just don't think it's a coincidence that it's just happening in the later seasons where they're having more black women in the villa.
Yeah, I mean, I'll also say that in these past, I skipped the winter season, but in the past, in the season right before the winter season and the season's going on right now, I've seen the first episode. I will also say that in those two seasons, for some reason, they were like, and we've let the public vote who's going to couple up at the beginning.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's always shocker. They're going to put the two black girls game. With the two black boys. Oh my God. I'm so surprised that the British public voted for the black people to get together.
Yeah.
Like,
God.
Whose idea was that? And I know that they'll do it on their own. And so usually when they do it on their own, it seems like it's an accident because this is the last person left. Like no one wanted to be the black person. Right. So the black person goes with them. Or like if a black person chooses a white person, sometimes that happens. But if the public is putting them together, I'm like, oh, so you're just really saying the quiet part out loud.
Right.
British public.
Yeah, it's really not going to get solved unless you hire a racism sniffer because I agree. I think the reason, like, I don't know what the fuck the reason was, but I suspect the reason they did this was because they were getting a lot of complaints about how humiliating it was for black contestants, women and men alike, for them to be stood up there as the last ones.
Mm-hmm. And it was nobody always awkward for them. Forward for them.
Right. But I think that it's awkward for the audience and the villa alike if you're matching them up and it's just a skin tone matching game. Like, it's just ridiculous. But it's just ridiculous to watch. It's very cringy. I don't like to cringe.
It's also like, I don't even know if they even realize it. I don't even know if the non-black people in the villa and the public even realize it.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, they've been making a bunch of comments that they don't hear.
No.
And I'm like, you're talking about skin tone and race and you don't know why it's bothering you. The reason why it's nibbling at your brain is because they are different skin tones and races. God.
Literally, like people
they don't know.
People that in past seasons have been like, "Oh, my type on paper is just
blonde." I'm really some idiot in this season literally said, "I've just really always gravitated admired blondes." I was like,
Shut the fuck up. And then people be like, I want him tall, dark, and handsome. And it's literally just like a white guy
who's dirty blonde hair.
With dirty blonde with light brown hair.
With
dark features.
And dark dirty features, blonde hair, like, kind of dark eyebrows and dark, blue eyes.
So like an Italian man.
Yeah, or an Italian man. They just never really black. Italian man.
Can't go across the Mediterranean Sea.
Oh my God.
It is just really that ridiculous. And that's the reason I think these shows are unethical. Not the fact that they exist, because I really love, love, love seeing real people. I think it's a complete different genre to like movies. I think it's another type of like art. It could be an art form. Mm-hmm. Like Love is Blind Japan was art. It was filmed like an independent movie and it was beautiful and it showed us really like...
And that's
illuminating things about
it. And that's another I'm sorry if I'm interrupting what you're about to say, but that's why when you look at parodies of Love Island, when people do parodies of Love Island and they make it so dumbed down to be as dumb as Sorry, The Bachelorette, I'm really offended because I'm like, you don't know how much you can actually learn about the dynamics of the fucking country that it's filmed in by watching it. Like it's produced, but it's not heavily produced.
Right.
They throw them in there like mice in one of them mazes, and they got to figure it out. It's a social experiment, and it's really, very interesting.
It's so fascinating to see how people like
it's not dumbed down
conflict resolution,
right?
Like, and how communication breaks down between human beings,
right? And you see it. You see problems and relationships from all angles in the villa, and so you can see so clearly when someone is gaslighting another person, and whether that person who's doing the gaslighting knows they're doing it or not,
right?
And that is a very good life lesson.
It's really it's really, really fascinating, and like that part I would love to see evolve, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like the Kardashians seems more like a vlog than the original did, which was more produced. Is like, I think that's why so many people love YouTube.
Yeah.
Because it is real.
Yeah.
And it's obviously everything's going to be a little bit fake. Yeah. Even talking to someone in person, mm-hmm. you're never going to be like the 100% in your you room are alone, in your room.
Obviously.
And it's these degrees. And so yes, a YouTube video, they can choose what to show you. They can choose what not to show you. But people that are really good at being YouTubers show you a pretty full, authentic
personal
picture of who they are because being more authentic speaks to people. Yeah. Like that's all that you're trying to do is like, speak to people, translate your emotions. Like that's what art is doing. It's
right.
Like, I feel like this. Does anybody else?
Yeah.
Can I heal myself and heal you at the same time?
Right.
Esty and I had a conversation about this the other day and Esty was literally like, art is made to heal yourself. Like you are making the art in order to heal yourself.
And can I say something? Can I just toot our own horn for a little bit? Because we made this podcast. I was telling Amanda the other day, I was like, this podcast is definitely something that has saved my life because this art is healing myself in the way that we are like kind of now forced to have these conversations that we were holding back on. And not even that, they're recorded. And when I go back and listen to the recording, I'm like, what did I mean by that? Did I mean what I'm saying? What I mean by that? And then if I find myself in a situation where I'm feeling similarly, I'm aware of it.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, maybe I should add therapy on top of this. Like, I'm just motivated to take care of myself a little more.
I mean, we did
because of this podcast.
We literally did say on the bonus episode that we did on Patreon, like, I feel like you were like, we should like Hannah Montana therapy as like something that you could do.
Heal.
And it's like, it is a type of therapy what we're doing right now because we are just talk therapying kind of to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that we might have talked about before, mm-hmm. but stuff that sometimes we have not talked about at all until right now. We're having epiphanies on air.
Right.
Like
exactly.
Learning about ourselves and healing things that like we never vocalized.
Really
like,
about. Yeah.
I've never said to you, everyone in our family thought you were the dramatic sister.
Right.
And that affected you and it also affected me.
Right. Yeah. We've never had that conversation. And also like, there's a lot of stuff that we didn't like even back a few episodes when you were talking about how something affected you deeply from watching. It wasn't Good Omens. It was something back in high school, but I just had no idea that you were going through that. And I was also going through that. Like we're learning. Did I?
No.
We're learning. Like I'm hearing different things from you that I've just never heard as a sister.
Like because we're talking to each other as friends
and like it's crazy.
We're still re-getting to know each other from the years that we weren't as close. That's right. What it is.
Yeah.
It's like because we have been close, I would say
I think they're pockets.
Growing. Yeah. Like it's been growing steadily since I turned 16.
Yes.
And there's been waves because sometimes we haven't lived in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, it has not been our whole lives. We were not this close when we were little bitty.
No.
So there are some things that happened when you were little that I have no idea.
And I'm like, what bitch you were doing?
What?
While I was like,
yeah. Just hopping around you. Like,
but
there's
also
things that we just,
or just weren't even aware. Like even when we were in the same playroom, there are things that we weren't aware we were going through.
Yeah.
Like you were reading what on your computer? You were watching this? Like
I was sobbing to Doomsday on my computer on the couch next to you.
Right. And I was just like, I was watching one of those videos.
I hope my family can't tell that I'm crying. What a psychotic thing to do is to watch that out on the family room couch. Like, why was I doing that?
Why? Because you had a room. If you're watching on your laptop. Oh, I know why. Because if you went into your room, I would have given you a hard time.
Yeah, that was it. I was about to say that.
If you would have gone into your room, I would have been like, Amanda, you're never outside. And you would have been like, you probably were just like, well, Amber, fine. I'll come sit out here, but I'm going to do what the fuck I want out here.
On my computer.
And you cannot speak to me.
Yeah, Amber would. That was something that you would get mad at me about being like, but you're just going to be on your computer the whole time. And I'm like, I'm going to be on my computer when I'm out here.
Or in my room. can I say something? I feel like that's why I know. I feel like that's why me and my dearest friend Capri get along. Because she really moves similarly to you. I think we should compare you guys' charts about how you guys handle things.
Oh my God, Capri, let's compare charts.
Because even
what's your Mercury?
Yeah, even I had a FaceTime with her like right before we recorded this, and the things she was saying were similar to what you were saying right before we recorded this. What? And I was like, okay,
what the fuck?
Which is why I summed up your debrief to me in one sentence. And then you're like, yeah, yeah, and I know, and I know. But there were different situations, but like, then you knew what I was saying immediately because I didn't have to go into like a explanation. But anyways, I think that, yes, you, like Capri's very much like, I'm going to sit out here with this face on. I'm going to sit in there with this face on. But you cannot make this face smile if I don't want to smile. And it's something I admire so much about people like you because oh I wear my smile the fuck out. Mm. I wear it out until I cannot do it anymore. And then I just disappear for a bit. And then I come back. But I want to do that less in like spurts and not such alarming, such alarming weeks at a time.
Well, we're learning balance. Like yeah. I could smile more and you could smile less.
Yeah. And I agree.
That's such a simple oversimplification of what we're talking about. But I feel like anyone with a sister can understand.
Yeah, same.
Like the qualities that you have that your sister admires can also be your flaws sometimes. And so when we take what we learn from another person, if we learn the opposite things, we can take it to be a little bit too far.
Right.
Cause I feel like sometimes I'm too smiley because I'm trying to be more like you.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
And I'm like,
oh, that was,
but not in the way like, oh, I need to be now exactly like Amber, but yeah. like this is a trait that I admire in her. Like I can learn from this and like pull from it. And be a little bit more bubbly when I really just like you're just being a bitch, like just be nice.
And I also, I'm like, I need to be a bitch.
And you need to be a bitch more.
I just need to be a bitch when I feel crossed.
Like it's balance.
Yeah.
It's
just balance. Like if I don't feel like giving a face, then I won't.
I'm gonna be a bitch. And there's a lot of benefits to like knowing your boundaries.
And also, yes, there is. And I'm learning that in my age of 25, but also you saying your smiley thing. Okay. Do you remember? Okay. This is context for the audience. When we were little, if Amanda started dancing, I would get upset. I don't know what that was. I just think maybe it, I don't know what that was.
What about me dancing on stage? What if when you came and saw me dance, did you hate that too?
No, I think I really liked it. And remember, I would even put your VHS tapes in to watch your like senior, your senior kindergarten, or not your senior, your flick graduation.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have a problem with it. I think that if you started doing, I don't know. I think if you started doing a goofy dance, I'd be like, stop. And I think maybe because it was out of character, I'm putting quotes on. But what makes me say this.
Stop.
But what makes me say this is because I think I have noticed when you are really smiley out in social situations and I'm like off put by it. But now that you say this, I'd be like, oh no, she's growing.
I'm just masking less because sometimes yeah, I mask my emotions. Less. When I was younger, like sometimes I have the tendency to mask my emotions for protection because I don't want to be like, I don't want my emotions to be made fun of.
Right.
And this is going back to the bitches we grew up with.
Because we know you listen.
Anytime I would be happy about something, they'd be like, oh my God, Amanda. Or they'd be like, I feel like, oh my God, just kidding. Like you're just being so dramatic. And so that traumatized me. So I'm like,
just kidding.
I literally put down my, like, I literally like don't, I try not to show my emotions around people I don't trust because I don't want them to make fun of me. And as growing up, I've been like, fuck them bitches. Like, I don't care if anyone is going to make fun of me for being happy. I'm an adult. What are they going to do?
What is wrong with you?
Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you being a bully? Like you're in middle school. Like, and so now when I am around people that I barely know, I'm more bubbly faster because I don't give a fuck about feeling like less than or less cool or less like normal for being so happy about something.
Right.
Again, fangirling, healing.
Fangirling, healing. It teaches you how to live. Fangirling is a way of life.
When we started this podcast, there's absolutely no way in hell I would have brought this David Tennant thing out. I don't think. Like, I was not at the stage in my life where I was like, yes, I have a David Tennant cardboard cutout. I am obsessed with David Tennant from Doctor Who. And that's something about me publicly. Like, I never, ever in my life would have said those words. Because I was like, subconsciously, in the general public, that makes me a fucking nerd.
Can I say another realization I'm having from childhood? Yes. This was the first cardboard cutout we had, right? You had the Edward Dorr poster.
And the Jacob Dorr poster.
You had a Jacob one too? On both sides? Yep. Okay. Okay.
And then, he was the first one.
Okay.
David Tennant was the first one.
Of the Miller family.
In the Miller household. Of the nine we had.
When you started ramping up with David Tennant recently, whenever that was, what was that, May? I was just kind of like, yeah, she was obsessed with Doctor Who. I remember that. I remember that really well. And I knew that you were really obsessed with Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know the extent. You didn't know the extent.
No, I didn't know the extent. And I'm thinking how foolish I was to not know the extent because we have a cardboard cutout of him.
Me and my friends had an all-day Doctor Who marathon.
And okay, but I know that. But like, I still only compared to Degrassi. And like, because I was really obsessed with Degrassi, I didn't know to the extent of like the sexual attraction, I should say. Because I was just like, that's her show. Because Degrassi was my show. I had a lot of crushes on Degrassi, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more.
It was more.
This is more.
This is way more. I was treating him like I was treating, and
like One Direction.
Notice that I was more comfortable doing it with Marvel because Marvel was more popular.
Mm.
Huh. This all ties together.
Is that why Sebastian Stan didn't make your top 10?
What are you talking about?
Remember how I was like, that's not a truth because Sebastian Stan wasn't your number one. Remember?
Yeah.
It's because I didn't know you. I didn't know you like I thought I did back then.
Well,
that was my perspective.
Yes, and now we know each other.
And now I know.
This is so interesting because Marvel, it was all coming back to like my need to be cool.
Right.
Like my friends will know this. I would consistently say that I don't need to be liked. I do not have a problem being disliked.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like me and you don't think I'm cool, then we have a problem.
Like if you like me and you think I'm crazy or like nerdy.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
If you like me as a person and you think I'm a fucking nerd, right. We can't have that. But if I trust you, then you can know I'm a nerd.
Right.
Hey, come here.
I'm crazy.
I'm crazy. Let me tell you a little secret. But the strangers have to think I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm
cool. No, check out this jacket.
Look at how pretty I am.
Okay, but
but now I'm fine.
I think
being a nerd is cool. Continue.
I think that's a little bit of like, I don't care about being disliked, but don't pity me.
Right.
And
that's
to be a nerd is like pity, and now you're like being a nerd is cool.
A little bit, yeah. Like,
because I mean, I still don't want to be pitied.
I always would secretly think
I can't be pitied for being a fangirl.
Right. I think that secretly, I still thought rewind. I thought that I have always thought being a nerd is cool because I never had a problem with being a fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a problem being a fangirl with things that I thought were popular to my peers or should be and has like a track record of being popular. Like if people are talking about it at school and they casually like something, it's fine if I'm fucking obsessed and going insane.
That makes sense.
It was fine with Disney Channel up to a certain extent. Then people thought like we were too old, but enough people still like Disney Channel. And then once people stopped like Disney Channel, I stopped talking about it at school, even though I was still obsessed.
Yeah.
Then it was like that with Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was losing their mind over Twilight. I was just losing my mind a little bit more than everybody else.
Yes.
And I could tell, like, if I got too crazy, then they'd be like, okay, man, like, I don't like Twilight that much.
Yeah.
And then it happened with Marvel. Mm-hmm. And then it happened with One Direction to a certain extent because we went to an all-girls school. But I stopped, like, talking about the Jonas Brothers after they stopped being cool to my peers.
Yeah.
I stopped talking about High School Musical and Hannah Montana after it stopped being cool to my peers, even though we were still watching every episode of Hannah Montana. We watched the finale and we sobbed when it came on.
That's interesting.
And at the same time, like, I think somebody mentioned Doctor Who at school. Mm. Like, one of the girls that, like, everyone thought was a nerd, and I'm putting that in air quotes, because she talked about Doctor Who, and I was like, don't talk about that here. I was like, girl, don't talk about that here. You know we don't talk about that,
it's
right? This is not the place. Oh, we're not with other nerds. And that's why I was fine at Comic-Con, because I was like, it's fucking cool to be here with all these people.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool on Tumblr to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, we're the fucking weirdos. And healing as an adult has been like, I am a fucking weirdo. And you know what? I'm fucking obsessed with David Tennant as much as I'm obsessed with, like, Chris Evans.
What? Don't bring him into this.
I'm just saying, like, people think it's cool to think Chris Evans is hot.
He is.
And I feel like most normies would look at this man and be like, why is he so sad? Like, you like, girl, you like that?
Well, he is
like,
so
why
sad.
Like, why is he so damn wrong with his face?
He's been
and
through
he's like
a lot.
Tall, white, pale, skinny white
oh
man.
My God, stop.
And they're like, bitch, what? And I'm like, bitch, yes.
Yeah, that's me.
Bitch, yes. Look, please look him up as Crowley and then talk to me about it.
She said what she said.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think I've said it on the podcast. I think, have we said that, like, we would love if all of our favorite artists had Eras tours? I feel like we said that in an episode. We don't really.
I just am going to say about Eras tour that I don't have any bad thing to say about seeing a fan have a good time with a nostalgic artist that made them happy through different parts of their life.
That's my time. Sorry.
I'm sorry. That's all I have to say.
I'm sorry. I agree.
I don't. I'm not a Taylor fan. I respect it.
I'm not a Taylor. No, I'm not a Taylor fan. I don't think we need to say anything.
I don't think so either.
About this.
Neither do I.
Beyonce's on tour. And I want to say that I've been seeing a lot of people going to her show last minute and getting floor seats for like less than $300.
Okay.
Walking like in at the last minute, like as she's coming on stage, like at 9 p.m. Like, I've seen a lot of TikToks of people being like, going to the Renaissance tour and I don't have tickets, and like on the train right up there, don't have tickets. Got a ticket, she's coming on, and like they're on the floor. And so I think that we should try to do that when Beyonce's in town.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if I'll cut that out because that's a secret that we're just gonna give a lot of people.
Okay, we're gonna try and find ourselves at the Renaissance tour. We're also gonna try and find ourselves at the Five Seasons of Summer tour in September.
Right, we don't have tickets, but we're going.
We're going.
Catch at this
us
point,
there.
We do not have tickets to that. We're going though.
Yes.
And we do have tickets to the Jonas Brothers album. What is it called? The albums or five albums one night? We don't even fucking
know.
What
it's at
it's
the
called.
Dodger Stadium.
The Dodger Jonas Stadium. Brothers. We
I
have
like
floor seats.
Y'all know we're fans of the Jonas Brothers, and y'all know that they're also ridiculous. So, and if you don't think they're ridiculous, then you're not a big enough fan. Sorry.
Or maybe you don't have a sibling.
Yeah. Or maybe you're an only child.
Anyway, I'm excited for it. I'm not thinking about it at all right now, though. I have to be honest.
Neither am I.
I can't pretend like I'm fangirling over something I'm not.
Neither am I, but Joe's birthday is coming up, and so that's exciting. I think that we should do, like, I want to watch that video. We should post that video.
Also, please trust, like, I'm not showing shade to the Jonas Brothers. I'm just not obsessed with them right now.
Right.
Like, I wasn't obsessed with David Tennant like this.
This time last year.
This time 6 months ago.
Right.
It's no shade to them. I'm just not freaking out. Like, I can only have so many hyperfixations at once.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
fair.
Do people bop around from fandoms like that? I feel like there's a lot of people that have one fandom their entire life, and that's what they're crazy about mm-hmm. for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have so many that I cannot dedicate that much energy to every single one of them all the time.
I agree.
Forever.
Yeah, I think so, because there are a lot of Harry Styles fans, the Harrys, that seem like they haven't had a day off since 2010. And I've missed a lot of what Harry's been up to.
Same.
And there was a time in my life where I wouldn't be caught dead missing mm-hmm. what Harry was up to.
Right.
I wouldn't be caught dead missing what Harry was up to.
Right.
I would come back in the afterlife and catch up. And now I don't know where that man is, and I find bliss.
We're adults with jobs.
Yeah. Ooh, I love it. I love it.
When Louis's movie dropped, I literally was like, I had no idea this was going on. And people on TikTok ripped me to shreds.
Right.
They were like, we've known for months. What the fuck are you talking about? He dropped a trailer already. He dropped two posters already. We've known since last year when he was filming it. There were rumors that he was filming a documentary. We all knew last summer. And I'm like, bitch, if you think that I have kept up with Louis Tomlinson since anywhere after 2015, you got me fucked up.
I just want to say something else. Some of us are in recovery. So some of us really find a lot of pride and strength in not knowing what Louis Tomlinson was up to and not knowing that Zane lived in Pennsylvania until the Call Her Daddy podcast. In not knowing that Liam Payne has a new girlfriend until I saw a random TikTok. In not knowing what Niall's doing today. In not knowing that Harry's dating a black woman. I have pride in having a bunch of other random outsiders giving me that information without me looking for that at all. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, and I don't need to.
She did her time. 12 years of it.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
I agree with everything you said. Thank I agree you. With every single thing you said, because I kind of feel similarly in the fandoms that I'm actually in, because I'm in the Good Omens fandom. Mm-hmm. I read millions of theories per day on Twitter and Tumblr. I read so many fan fictions. I take suggestions from other fans, but I'm just kind of like a silent lurker in the fandom. Like, I'm not like an active voice, I would say, mm-hmm. of the Good Omens fandom.
Right.
However, I am a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some people where I'm like, get boundaries.
Right.
Like, stop knowing so much about David Tennant's family.
Like, you like, don't actually, know
like, you don't know these people.
Right.
And
the and you parasocial don't need to. Element. You really don't need
no,
to.
The parasocial element of fangirling is why I think it can feel like all of it is hysterical.
Yeah.
That's why I
but
think.
But the hysterical part is the parasocial part. The other think, stuff can be very healing.
Right. Like, and I fun. Think there's nothing toxic or unhealthy about being so obsessed with something that you know every single thing about it. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something unhealthy in doing that with a human being.
That you don't personally
that you don't know.
Or even like, that you do personally know. I don't want to know as much as I knew about One Direction about anybody else and for the rest of my fucking life. I swear to God. Like, I swear to fucking God.
Yeah.
I don't need to know that much about anybody.
I like knowing the bits and pieces that they are willing to share with us.
Right.
But if a bunch of fans like found out something and it's not something that they directly said, or it's like something weird, like, or something like guessing or
right.
trying to guess like if like they're dating someone or guess like their sexuality or like, I don't know.
Theory. I couldn't think of the word theory.
Theories about people.
I don't want to theorize about random strangers that I don't know. Like, I want to talk about what we do know, and that is that they can sing, that they are handsome, and that they make us laugh. I don't want to theorize about anything else that they have not told us confirmed.
And for fictional, for actors instead of musicians, I will theorize about these characters until I literally cannot hold my eyes open anymore.
Right. Characters.
But not people. You cannot do that about people. And so so I'm unlearning as an adult, like, we already said this, you are just as much of a fan if you don't know the name of their dog.
Yeah, you,
like,
yeah.
You're just as much of a fan if you don't know their wife's name, or even if they're married or not. Like, yeah. Honestly, because it's fun, like, interviews are a fun extension of the universe. Like, mm-hmm. I think that when you are marketing a movie, you're telling the story of the movie. And if you have really good marketing that cares about your audiences and cares about your audience's fandoms and what will make them excited, it can be artful, like the Barbie marketing. Like, I almost, like, remember the marketing more than I remember the movie. And like, when you have that, that's fine. You can watch them in interviews. They chose to put themselves in front of this camera to market their movie. This is a consensual exchange. But if you take that and you're like, I can't be as obsessed with X show or X musician unless I know every detail about their life, that's an unhealthy way to challenge fans. Yeah. And, like, be like, you don't belong
here.
Yeah,
it's almost like if you, like, think, picture this, like, in, like, the 60s, 50s, like, the suburban stay-at-home moms would gossip with each other about different things that was just gossip. If you go to a Harry Styles
line. That was so Southern, gossip.
But if you go to a Harry Styles line and you want to, like, connect with the fans around you, and all they can say is, well, did you see what he said about Olivia? And this is why. And Olivia's a ratchet ass bitch. And they just start going off in a bunch of, like, uncalled for ways. Like, that does not make my soul happy the way that I want to feel about to go watch Harry Styles perform on stage. And so I'm just, the whole thing makes me think of community. And if the community is stank, you're going to want to find an escapism from it. And that's what America or real life is, and fandom should be for us.
Yes.
So let's not bring in all this toxic, gross gossip
and that
to the fandom, because we don't know. Let's just have this happy thing and take what we have. Let's not turn it into something that just ruins it for everybody, for the celebrity at hand, for a fan who doesn't want to know, for a fan who doesn't know, who now feels invalidated for how much this music may make them feel because they don't know that Harry has a dog. I don't think Harry has a dog. I just said that.
And who knows? That's the thing.
I don't know what he takes care of.
If he has a dog. We don't
know him.
We don't know him at all. But what I listen to his music,
and he makes me happy. And what I will say is that concert felt like church, and I had a release. I had a tear release the next day. I just started crying, and I was like, that must have been because of the concert last night. I started crying for no reason.
Listen, that's amazing that you had that experience.
Yes.
Okay. Because I think this is the key to what has been pissing us off about Harry being more famous.
Yeah.
Is the celebrity culture aspect
too
of
many
it.
Words.
I don't give a shit about his personal life. Stop telling me about it, honestly. Like, I don't care what he did.
Right.
And I don't care, like, unless it's, like, horrible. Like,
right.
And unless I need it's something to elaborate.
It's against me morally. I don't want to give him my pennies.
But if it's gossip and, like, who he's dating and, like, what he did and who he's seen with and who he's kissing.
I don't need to know.
How that is, like,
because what you'll know,
I don't give a shit.
What you'll notice is, ladies and gentlemen and everybody out there, what you'll notice is everyone. What you will notice is that the celebrities, the artists, the musicians that don't have a huge crowd around them theorizing random pieces of their life will post stories more. They will tweet. They will tell you funny little anecdotes that happen in their lives that will make you feel closer to them and make you sign off on their personality as well as their music or art. But when you take that away from them because you put too much pressure and anxiety on how you expect them to present from all these different opinions of little girls and people wanting to either villainize them or protect them and put them on the highest pedestal ever, they're gonna just be like, you don't need to know anything. You don't need to know anything except for what I can slip to you in a music lyric. And that's unfair.
Your fault.
It's your fault.
Your fault.
Because I would like to see Harry be a goof, and he was a goof in 2012, and so was Louis Tomlinson. And you know what? Louis and Harry were goofs together, and who fucked that up? No, who fucked that up? Right. Y'all know the answer. Fuck off.
Wow.
Get out of that parasocial relationship. It's time to break up with whoever you are obsessed with.
Yeah, having a parasocial relationship with a celebrity.
Respect their art.
Pushes them away and makes the fandom worse.
It does.
It makes the community talking. Worse.
They stop posting, and then you just are like, well, whatever.
This is a problem with celebrity culture in general.
I miss seeing Zayn. Zayn, we haven't heard from Zayn in 6 years. And yes, he's a very quiet person, but like, that was a pleasure to see him giggle.
Right.
I miss seeing Zayn giggle. And we would get to see him more if his fans didn't give him so much anxiety.
I know. Like, honestly, it is such a pleasure that there is so much content of David Tennant online.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not as famous.
Tom Holland
or
took
popular
off.
As the right.
Tom Holland was stopped. Always posting.
Yeah, he stopped.
And took off.
So was Zendaya.
Zendaya
was posting all the time on her Tumblr. Okay, if you were on Zendaya's Tumblr in the 2010s,
yep.
You dressed like don't know what the fuck's going on.
Tom had
because
musical.]
That was me.
He has musical.lys out there. He would say anything and everything, and then he got too many eyes on him, and everybody started having something to say about what he said. Y'all told him he looked like he had a frog in his mouth, and he took off.
Oh.
That hurt him. That hurt her feelings. He was laughing back then, but he has since recently said that it gave him a bad time mentally.
I despise celebrity culture. Mm-hmm. And
maybe this is the pop culture episode.
Maybe this is the pop culture episode because we have talked about reality and stuff. But like, fuck celebrity culture, honestly. And I know that's going to I feel like it's going to piss some people off because so many people love celebrity culture. But like, honestly, I don't give a shit about it. I think it's actively ruining people's lives.
Me too.
Like actively ruining families' lives.
Yes.
Jennifer Garner was talking on David Tennant's podcast about how she cannot go anywhere in LA without her children being paparazzi'd still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, who wants that? Do you want that,
yeah.
America? Do you want to see Jennifer Garner's children every day?
Like, do you? Do you need to? Well, do you need to?
That's what celebrity culture has produced, is that she can't go anywhere without her children being watched all the time. Like, and that's just one celebrity, but imagine what Beyonce's life is like. Like,
I know, I
understand that they're like rich and famous and stuff, but like, it would suck to never be treated like a human being.
Yeah.
Again.
Right.
By most of the people in the world.
Or just have to weave in and out of a bunch of places and just have to think about it. And okay, I know that it's just a parody, but the poor mother on the other two.
Oh yeah, the other two, yes.
I know that's an extreme,
That does a really good, no, I think that that's exactly like the extreme that is needed.
Well, yeah, because that woman was just a natural people pleaser in her everyday life as a mother, that she stood out at the stage door and was just shaking everybody's hand because she didn't want to go inside.
Mm-hmm. And look what happened to that woman. Like,
I love Molly Shannon.
She's so good.
An actress in her art, I think she's adorable. I have no idea what she's
so
like.
So good. Yeah, like, also, like, I feel like when I watch people or, like, I see people's art that I really admire, it's a step towards wanting to know them, mm-hmm. as a person, yeah. as another artist. I'm like, they would probably be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it stops at that for me. I'm like, I hope that they would be cool. And then it stops at that. And I'm like, if I ever meet them, I would hope that they would be cool. But I don't know that. I can't guarantee that. I can have fun speculations with Amber, but I'm not going to say it to anyone
else.
Do
you want to know what I think?
Like,
I think
online on Twitter, like, I think that her booty stank. Like, like, no one needs to.
No man has never given me that theory about anybody ever. But wait, I agree with you. And I feel like a solution for that genuinely, like, if you see somebody and you're in, you're like, that person is very cool and it makes you want to know them more, I think it's a possible solution that maybe we could start practicing as a fangirl society as the fangirl central, is just be like, I really relate to that. I really liked how this person acted this part out, said this in the interview, wrote this lyric, whatever it is, handled this situation that was accidentally caught on camera. Whatever it is, you don't need to know more about that person. Just understand why you relate to it, understand why you respect it, and maybe adopt that action or
how you interpreted it.
However you interpret it, adopt that into your lifestyle and just be like, now I like myself a little more.
Mm-hmm. Just get inspired.
Just be inspired.
Just be inspired.
That's what I'm saying. Don't just exactly what I said in the most long-winded way. Don't think that you need to, don't become obsessed with this person. Be inspired by them and just adopt it into your own lifestyle.
Yes. Like, then there's no harm in that.
There's no harm in that.
There's no harm in that. But I feel like so many fan spaces verge on crossing boundaries, and that aspect comes from celebrity culture. Like, mm-hmm. It comes from stan culture, not like fan culture, honestly. Like, I'm sorry, but being a stan, I think, is the worst part of the identity of a fangirl, because like, when you take it so literally, I'm saying, like, if you identify with that word and it means something different to you,
that's young.
Go ahead.
But if we're talking about like stan, like stalker fan, like whatever that
and like stan
definition
and
is.
Some elements of stan Twitter, like the worst elements of stan Twitter, I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Twitter in my mind, mm-hmm. when I'm thinking about stan culture.
Yeah, who just
and
like how tweets on everybody's thing.
Yes, and it like armies going in like doxing people, mm-hmm. and like doxing people because they said something bad about like basically everything that you see in Swarm.
Yeah,
like I think
verging
that,
on that,
stan,
and also
stan, the worst
party
of stan
four,
and energy. It's the cult like the cult like followership yeah. that you exhibit.
Yeah,
like anything where you think you worship this person for real, because like you think that they're this person, literally like deifying them.
Back.
Like take yeah. a step.
And
they can do wrong.
I'm gonna go
it's
ahead.
It's not they can do no wrong. It's
they can do
wrong
because they're what a person like
a
you.
A human being.
And you can do wrong, and so can they. And don't take that away from them, and don't give it to them too much. Just
use a character live. Instead. Don't get them mixed up with yes. their character. Don't get the actor mixed up with their character. Mm-hmm.
We have movies and TV shows with long running seasons. That scares the shit out of me. Someone just. Threw something away. We're by the dumpster in my apartment. Fuck. That scared the shit out of me. Oh my God. What was I saying? Oh, we have actors in TV shows and long running series that so that we can learn as much as we want about this specific character.
And songs.
And songs. And that's fun to really get into it and really know everything in and out of this character. But don't forget, it's a character that you were given the privilege to know everything to because it's not a real person.
And we're speaking to ourselves.
Yeah, we're speaking to ourselves. And that's what I was about to say. I'm going to plug the short film that we did a couple years ago, The Day I Didn't Meet One Direction. If you look closely in Amber's eyes.
She's not well. She is not well.
She is not well. She's incredibly unwell. But she thinks that she's having the time of her life.
Mm-hmm. It was her lifeblood.
Be careful.
Go watch the movie.
Be careful.
Because it's a cautionary tale.
It's a cautionary tale. Fangirls, listen.
It's a cautionary tale. It's the truth.
We should turn it into a storybook.
Okay? It's the hard truth. Okay?
It's the hard truth.
And I've gotten some reactions from men, very few men, but some men that I've sent it to, mm-hmm. or let see it, will be like, ha ha ha, so ridiculous. And I honestly take it offensively, right, because I'm like, now what do you think's going on here? Now, what did you get from this movie?
Right, because
did you get that we condone this behavior?
Right, because I don't want anybody to think that we condone the behavior of the teens in the movie that we were playing that was us in our real
this
lives.
This is the truth. And
this is the truth.
You need to face the truth.
And yes, because...
And witness, bear witness
to what...
To the truth.
To what we were affected by. But also, a lot of people will watch
it. It's a parody.
It's a parody. A lot of people will watch it. A lot of One Direction fans or hardcore fangirls of other stuff will be like, I get it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also on the come up. They are also in recovery,
mm-hmm.
of the parasocial relationship, right. aspect of their fandom.
It's
very important to recover from the parasocial relationship of your fandom.
There's no way we could have made it.
Or else you so can't enjoy it the way you want.
Accurate if we didn't live through it authentically. And now I don't even know if we're making any sense.
I don't know either. You know what?
But
I think that we know what we're talking about.
We know the harms of parasocial relationships. That's what I'll say. Like, Amber is so depressed. She's crazy by the end. Like, it's not, she's not doing well.
No.
It's a sad story.
It's a sad story. Like, she just wants more, but she can't get it.
It's a cautionary tale. It's a sad story. It's funny, but it turns a little dark in the end.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I like when men are like, this is kind of disturbing. Like,
it makes him uncomfortable.
Like, Ben edited the sound and he's like, this is really disturbing. Like, it's really scaring me. And I'm like, good.
Good.
Yes. Yes. And I'm like, good. It kind of disturbs me to live it. Like,
no, it
to
is.
Live through it again.
It makes me uncomfortable to watch that, the ending part. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm having flashbacks.
Because it happened.
Because, I'm sorry. The ending scene, the last scene of me in the dark. I don't want to say the exact ending scene. But when I watched that at the viewing party that we had with our friends and family, I was like,
oh my God. Amber, but do you know what everyone says? Everyone that I send it to is like, Amber's such a good actor.
She's not acting.
Like, and I say, and I do say that. I'm like, I know she is, but she's also like not acting.
It's muscle memory. She's just reenacting. I'm reenacting.
No. But it's like you were method acting, yeah, being somebody you're not, because that is not who you are anymore. No. But I think it was just easier to method act something that you did
because
literally
it was
go
who I
through.
Was, yes.
You're like, because that's how I felt. I was like, I know this girl, Amanda, age 17.
Amber,
lives in Memphis,
age 15, in Nashville, which is like kind of like a euphoric, it's an automatic euphoric like burst to our brain, because Nashville growing up was the concert city. If you were in Nashville, you knew some big event was happening. Mm-hmm. So for us to get up at 6 a.m. to drive to Nashville, and on top of it, we were trying to find One Direction. We had all the One Direction update accounts.
Yep.
Am I speaking too fast with the podcast?
Keep up. I feel like we're that video of the B movie, but every time they say B, it gets faster.
Oh,
I feel like that's,
every time we say One Direction, it gets faster
with this podcast sometimes.
Okay, but yes, like on top of like having what we think are the tools to actually find it, like I felt like I was like fucking whatever that character's name in Journey to the Center of the Earth. Like, we found the book.
We found the key.
We found the key. We booking a flight. And we go
on
to the
ground. We're on. It literally is exactly that.
We
literally is exactly act one of Journey to the Center of the Earth.
And then we didn't.
Yeah, and then his brother's dead.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And then he didn't. So maybe there is a sequel where our children or our whatever, maybe it's us, will
meet
One Direction.
Shut the fuck up.
Like, there is a sequel.
There is a sequel.
There's gonna be a sequel, and there's gonna be a fucking sequel.
See, there's flashes of it. Did you see it in my eyes? I was like, meet One Direction. Like,
in the terms of a sequel, I think it's because you are currently 17-year-old Amanda mentally right now, as we are ramping up this conversation.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like mentally, if it was a sequel directly to the day I didn't meet One Direction, I met One Direction. Whatever the circumstances of it would be, it would be respectful.
Oh my God. It would. Like, we would be completely normal and respectful, and then I probably would black out. Like,
right. I
would never ever cross their boundary, but I would black out. And like, that's just the truth.
What would need to happen is I would be very respectful in the conversation, and as soon as the goodbyes, the nice to meet yous, the greats were done, I would need immediate ushering away. I would need immediate ushering away. I would need maybe someone to usher them away alike, so that I could react how I wanted to without them seeing.
Right, like, especially if it's just a brief interaction. Like, if it were a scenario where
we have to go,
where like we work with them or something, because I
no one said that.
I would
have to go.
I don't know. Don't hold me to this, but I feel like it would be very interesting to cast any of them in something. Like, I think it would just be very fascinating. So if it was a work relationship, then I would have to obviously like do some exercises. Like I want to, like, I think David Tennant is one of my favorite actors. I think he's one of the best actors in the world. And I would want to cast him in something, but I would obviously have to find my cool. Like I would have to do a pre like interview with myself to get myself together. I would have to like frequently meet with him before we started working together. Mm-hmm.
To
like normalize the situation. Just normalize it. Like, oh, Amanda, look at my finger. He's a normal person.
There are always steps to like invasive surgery.
Yes. Like.
Like wisdom teeth. You can't drink water.
Prep yourself. Just prep.
And you're right.
Go ahead and do all that prep you need.
If there's ever a business.
And then we could work together and then I would get to know them and then it'd be fine.
Right.
You know, because that's how it always is that it's fine.
Right.
But.
Right.
The younger you get, the more intense it gets for us. Yeah. Like, I know that if we meet Raven Simone or Zac Efron.
Don't. I have said that if we end up at an event where Zac Efron might have a possible attendance, I will be wearing horse blinders. And someone in my in-ear saying, oh, he's on your left.
He's on your right.
Shut like horse blinder. I don't want to fucking see that man with my own eyes. I've seen enough. I don't want to see Zac Efron with my own eyes. They burn. I turn to stone. I swear.
No, I agree. And see, we have exceptions where it's more difficult for us.
It's more difficult because they came into our lives at a smaller age.
Listen to me. If you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 right now, listen to me this. These people are going to be the most impactful of your entire life.
For the rest
of your
life.
And I'm just going to say that. It gets better. It gets easier. You're having a lot of hormones right now. It's normal mm-hmm. for you to be going through this. Just kind of get a grip.
Get a grip.
Just kind of get a grip.
You don't know them, but they make you really happy and that's nice.
Get a little bit of a grip.
You love them.
You love XYZ person.
You love what they bring to the table.
Listen to that music.
Watch that show.
Read that book, but don't think you know them. You don't know them.
And you don't need to, babe.
No.
You don't need to.
That's what we think about celebrity culture.
And I want to say something. Because I was obsessed with Justin Bieber in seventh grade, as we know. But that was only 9 months. And I was when I was 13. But I went through a huge fandom obsession with someone completely different in high school. That really was a lot for me. But here I am in my age of 25. And if I am having a bad time, if I'm having a horrible time, what I do is I listen to My World 2.0, no skips.
And see how intense she feels about that.
As loud as I possibly can get it in the car, and
how intense she's feeling about that.
And it recenters me.
That's powerful.
It really just puts me back. I don't know what Justin was up to during the whole Selena thing, Haley thing, whatever, Sophia something. I don't know what
Nobody
he was up
knows.
To. I know he's been sick a couple times just from reading on the internet. I don't know what he's been up to. But what I know is that if you surgically removed my heart, you would see his name written on it forever.
That's another thing she said in the bonus episode.
Which
you missed out on.
Justin Drew Bieber.
See, and you're allowed to feel that intense about his, because it's his music.
It's his music. It's My World 2.0.
It's that's just his music.
It's his concert.
It's what he made you feel. It's the rush of emotion mm-hmm. that you get when you hear a song.
He was a cute little boy and I was a cute little girl and I gravitated
13.
Toward him.
Like,
but I don't know anything about him.
It makes me feel so deeply to listen to Miley Cyrus's first album, Meet Miley Cyrus. Like, and so, that one too. So intensely. Like, I will listen to it and be like, hey, you're my type of guy. I guess if I was stuck in East Northumberland High for the rest of my life, people change, thank God I did. And if there's some confusion, let me tell you, you're just delusional. Get a clue, cause people change, thank God I did. Thank God I did. Boo, boo, boo.
Yeah.
I still feel that intensely. And I'm still like,
we don't know her.
I don't know anything about her personal life. I love
her to death.
I love her. But I don't need to know anything that's going on in her life. I'm like, this is the bitch that got me through middle and high school and then skirped a few years, but I still was always into it, and then gave me my gay awakening.
Yes.
And my understanding. Yes. And I love that she literally is kind of a role model for me in terms of what I can see publicly, like how many tattoos she has, what her music is like, how vulnerable she is in her music.
She's an inspiration.
Her performance style, right. Like her fashion sense. Like, she's an inspiration that, like, you can live that loudly in your life,
mm-hmm.
because she does live that loudly from what we can see.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what's going on in her personal life. Mm-mm. And I don't really need to. Like, mm-mm. I don't need to know if she's dating anybody new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really just, I need to know if the bitch gets married. I'm just like, oh, okay, cool for that.
Right.
But I don't need to know anything else other than the fact that she loves her Aunt Dolly and she is fashion bitch.
Yeah. Like, what they post on their personal Instagrams is all we need to know. It's just fun to see, the same way it's fun to see whatever your friend is posted on Instagram.
Right. Like, treat a celebrity like that one person you like follow on Instagram that, like, you literally don't know anything about.
Like,
but it's kind of fun to see their updates.
Right. Like, you like their pretty photos and you like the pretty things that they release.
And when they announce that they have a new project going on or like something new in their life, you say, congratulations, that's amazing. And you keep it pushing.
Keep it pushing.
Cause I definitely feel like I'm prying if I'm asking somebody I don't know a personal question.
Yeah, like I don't just randomly start theorizing random people that I happen to follow on Instagram just because of their story.
Mm-hmm.
The same way some people with a celebrity, like, it's her back, which means maybe she's I don't know, releasing an album called Back.
Not,
I don't
I'm
know what
concerned.
The Taylor the Swifties be saying.
I'm not concerned. I'm just not concerned. Ooh, shade.
No.
And
it's no shade at all. That's not no shade. It's absolutely no shade because we were once concerned. We are just telling you this because we've seen the light.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're
still
working on it.
Yeah. Oh my God, today is Sebastian Stan's birthday. See, and I didn't even.
And if that doesn't just really sum up the whole conversation we were talking about, because Amanda's phone passcode used to be Sebastian Stan's birthday. And now it was an afterthought.
I literally didn't even remember. Like, I saw the date just now when I was looking at my notes and I was like, oh, that's Sebastian Stan's birthday. I remember what his birthday is, obviously, but I'm just not paying attention. And that's growth. That's growth because I used to walk around in ages 16 to about 18. But also in my head, like 22, I would walk around saying, I'm going to marry Sebastian Stan. Like, he can get married, but he's probably going to get divorced, whether or not he's married already. Like, when I'm in my late 20s, like, I'm going to marry Sebastian Stan. Like, I can just feel it. Like, I feel it in my system that he will be my husband. And I would say that, and people would think that I was joking.
But it was
Did
like,
you think I was joking?
No.
Okay.
Because I had the same thought about some people.
Yeah, everyone thought I was joking.
Mm-hmm.
Even my best friends.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh yeah, like, no. She says this. No, I wasn't joking.
No, I didn't think you were joking because I believed you.
Amber believed me. She's the only one that did because she saw me get under that blanket when all those people were meeting Sebastian Stan at Philly.
I had my own pathway of your life that I thought that you guys would end up in the same room where I was like,
I think I'll meet him. I probably will.
Like, no, for sure. But like,
but I don't think I'm going to marry him.
No, like, I'm talking like, and I'm not talking about for you and Sebastian, but like, when a person, when a young girl thinks that they're going to marry X, Y, and Z person from celebrity here, when they say that, and it, you, when you see, when they say it a certain amount of times, and when it's a certain type of person, what they mean is, I actively see a way my life and career will go after I graduate college or high school or whatever, where I will end up in a series of events with this person that I'm obsessed with that I can't even act right mm-hmm. about in my own room.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a series of events of my future where I will get to the point where I will be able to marry them. I will be able to get this person to want to get down on one knee for me.
That is called, that's called delusion.
That's called the most powerful form of delusion.
It's sometimes it's necessary.
Sometimes it is
necessary. Honestly, imagination is the only thing that can get you out of something sometimes.
No, it is. If you have a very powerful imagination, if you're having the worst day in high school, you will make it to the next. Because yes. I would sit in my Latin class or whatever, and I would imagine the day me and some, enter whatever Five Seconds of a Member here, would be in the UK, and he would be meeting Amanda for the first time, and I'd be like, yeah, we bicker a lot, just be prepared. Y'all know what imagine I'm talking about. Oh no, I've exposed myself. I was gonna wait till the fan fiction episode to expose myself.
Amber, like we don't know that you read Imagines.
Fuck
like,
off! I didn't read Imagines. But anyways, yes, I would imagine it, and I would be like,
you didn't?
No, I did.
Amber, stop playing.
That was me lying, I'm a Gemini.
Oh my God. We need to talk about that.
But I would sit there and be like, no, it's okay. I can graduate high school and I can get through living in Memphis with these racist ass people because I'm going to be in the UK dating insert whichever Five Seconds of Summer I was obsessed with at the time here. And he's going to love me.
Yep. I'll be in Los Angeles living my dreams and married to Sebastian Stan. Like, come on.
This is just temporary.
Let me have it. Like, right. Let me have this fantasy. And that's why I'm like, girls, I'm talking to you, fangirls, ages 18 and below. I see you.
Fantasize about it.
Fantasize.
Oh.
Fantasize everybody, your heart out.
Everybody search Take Van, Let Me Fantasize on Spotify or wherever you stream music. And dance.
Yes. Do that and then fantasize.
And then fantasize about it.
We're just giving cautionary tales because we've been here before. We're older. We're a little bit wiser.
A little bit.
Just a little
just
bit.
Just a tiny bit wiser.
We're figuring this out together. And we support you. We did not talk about this on the podcast. Pizza Hut made us into Funko Pops. Like, they made us into Funko Pops off of the fucking cover of our podcast, which is
Sam K's a genius,
which is shot and designed by Sam K. But they literally made us into Funko Pops. Like, we did not know they were doing this.
No one out pizza.
And they
the
just
hut.
Showed up at our house with this. And like, I honestly can't believe it. I honestly, I'm still kind of shocked. I can't really process it.
It's insane because we're like in doll formations of ourselves, but during Barbie summer, nonetheless, like,
and
I feel
also
like our
right
dreams
before,
are coming true.
Right before Comic-Con and yeah. Barbie weekend.
Funko Pop.
So Funko Pops at Comic-Con and Barbie.
Yeah.
Like dolls.
It was pretty
like,
insane. I'm wearing a purple skirt. Like, this is my dream.
This is the actual, this is our actual clothing too. Like, I think that's just crazy.
It is. It really is. And we just have to give ourselves our flowers.
We just,
and thank you, Pizza
thank
Hut.
Thank you so much, Pizza Hut.
Because
Jesus
we used
Christ.
To, we, as a family, we used to go to Pizza Hut all the time and eat stuffed crust.
It really was the family dinner spot.
The family dinner spot. Davidson just scared the shit out of me. I was like sitting here just like analyzing the macro and I was like, what's that? God.
Oh my God.
Cardboard cut is what they do it.
He honestly is pretty scary.
Like he's in a battle stance.
Oh my, stop. He's not in a battle stance. He's sad.
Okay. He's like looking
in a battle.
He looks like he's like trying not to be knocked over. He's ready. He's got his feet planted in a battle stance.
That's just how he stands because he's so tall.
White men are alarming. Everyone knows it.
Oh my God. No, you're right. You're right. Speaking of David Tennant, I have my snake ring on that kind of looks like Crowley's tattoo. It is really painful because there's like something that's sticking out of it, digging into my hand. Man, but I wanted to show it because I'm wearing it. I'm also wearing this Robert Pattinson shirt that I showcased earlier, but I didn't say anything about. So just click on the video if you want to see.
I'm not wearing anything fandom worthy. But I have my purple fucking Stitch.
I just want to take this time to say, because I need to give my Little Good Omens update. It's, if you think that I was going to be over this shit in 2 weeks, you're very mistaken. And then I would allow you to question my fandom card if I was already over it, which I'm not. And I'm still going to, I'm saying, still get in my DMs about it. Even if you just finished it, I'm still talking about it in my head.
And out loud to me, which I don't, she doesn't do it a lot, but I never know what she's talking about when she does. I just listen.
I watched some more gay shit. I watched Red, White, and Royal Blue. And I feel like when you watch Red, White, and Royal Blue, I want to talk about the burst of queer stuff that's going on lately in like fandom specific things.
Okay. I thought you meant, okay. Yeah.
Because it's interesting and it's relevant.
Okay, right.
So we'll come back to that when Amber has seen Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Right.
And maybe if you've seen Good Omens, but I don't know if you're going to.
I think I might make it more of a priority than other things.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
So we'll talk about some gay shit next time. And thank you so much for listening.
And as you guys know, with our cautionary tales, don't forget to also remember to always
keep it chaotic. I have no idea what you're about to say.
Really?
Until the last second.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.